and the atmosphere will always be dominated by the war of Ares and the war of Athena. The idea of war is not adapted by Homer to suit his poem. He doesn't customize war. He doesn't alter it or shrink it to match his artistic capacity or to conform with the taste of his public. On the contrary, in the immense wealth of the Iliad, all aspects of war are rightfully represented. From the practical necessities and the mundane details, the complex psychology of the army and the protagonists, the physical action, the moral questions and impasses, the dire implications and the collateral damages, the philosophical foundations and the metaphysical extensions which always come forth when men and nations engage in war, all are included in the Iliad. Homer, the master poet, has captured and reconstructed in words the whole spectrum of man's most fascinating and necessary undertaking. It is exactly the philosophical foundations and spiritual capacity, not just of Homer, but of our ancestors, that demand the overwhelming presence of the divine in the greatest story of European antiquity. The gods of the Iliad are not childish fantasies or useful allegories of a poet who wants to impress a gullible and superstitious audience. They are more than literary effects which emphasize and underline important scenes in the story. Homer has created a complex synthesis which reflects and includes the whole spectrum of our ancestors' worldview. The physical world, the human domain, and the internal laws and principles that govern the creation are harmoniously integrated into a marvelous unity that only the language of poetry can sufficiently express. The unity between the world above and the world below does not belong to the field of science. We cannot process it the same way we analyze a mathematical or engineering problem without weakening it and distorting it. The Iliad is saturated by this unity, where the nature of things is always an Olympian force, and where there is a divine attribute to the choices and actions of men. When men cross the limits of normality, there is always a higher force, a god, encouraging them, supporting them, or opposing them. In our traditions, greatness and tragedy are not strictly human affairs, but an interplay with forces which transcend us, and laws with much higher validity and authority than our short-sighted conventions. Nevertheless, folkish wisdom has captured and preserved this broader unity in language, encoded in words and expressions which carry an ancient momentum with roots in the same essence which inspired our epic traditions. A finer meaning in our words, usually overlooked. We use expressions like, an idea entered my head, a light was lit in my mind, I had an epiphany, it came to me. Where do these ideas come from? What is the origin of this epiphany which suddenly appears from nowhere and dominates our thoughts and lights up our minds for an instant, without any previous intellectual effort, without us thinking about it? Shall we rationalize it down to the result of complex neurological and physiological operations of the brain? Or shall we enter the land of the poet, the kingdom of myth, and maybe consider that this sudden burst of insight that momentarily enlightens our mind and will points us to the right direction, brings a solution to a complicated problem, or empowers us with strength and courage when weakness and doubt poison our hearts, as it happens so often in the Iliad? Can we consider that this gift comes from somewhere beyond ourselves, or, as Homer sings, from a god? With that in mind, the gods of the Iliad, the gods of the Aryans, become suddenly very real.